In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss Bleeding Eyes, Scotty Dogs, A Slumber Party at the Bed and Breakfast, upcoming releases, and pre-order specials with authors PC Cast and Kristen Cast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're just going to jump right into our Would You Rather game and chat with PC Cast and Kristen Cast. Enjoy!
That's my dog, my angry dog upstairs.
Nice. You will probably
hear... Yes, we love it when the pets are made.
Yeah, we do love doggos. But you will probably hear lots of construction sounds and sirens from me. So just get ready for that.
Quite like the train last week.
Oh my gosh.
The train last week was fun.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
That your dog? Is that Hobby? Yeah,
Hobby.
Well, my cat is laying over here. She's very drugged at this moment.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she has not been feeling well, and she went to the vet yesterday, and so she is massively chilled out because she's a huge Maine Coon, and
oh, hi, baby.
Yeah,
wow.
She's out right now. She's out,
oh,
and if
wow.
She was out right now, you guys would hear, ow, 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 she'd be over here. I'd have to, like, put her downstairs. Because she'd be, like, trying to get on and talk.
Excellent. My cat's...
That's fine. I love it when the pets come in. It's amazing. I don't have pets, so I like them to come on.
My cats are in another room, and last time we recorded, they tried to open the door. So there was a big, loud, like, rumbling from the doorknob sound, so...
We'll learn. My friend's cat does actually have the sixth digit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's got a polydactyl. She's convinced it's going to be able to learn how to open the door soon.
Oh my god, I had polydactyls, and when they were kittens, I was at my ranch. They were outside the door, or they're outside the window, and they were climbing my miniature Japanese maple like monkeys. With their little fingers like this. It was crazy. It was really kind of creepy, too.
That's creepy.
Give them opposable thumbs, and they're going to take over the world, I'm sure.
They should.
Yeah, I completely believe that.
I think being ruled by a
cat
would
do a better job.
It would do a better job than what we're dealing with right now.
It's so true. So true.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's get into Would You Rather.
Okay.
It's time for Would You Rather.
It's time.
And we've been waiting for this one for so long, and we're so excited because we have two very special guests. PC Cast and Kristen Cast are joining us today, and we're so excited. Yay!
We're so happy to be here.
Yay, thanks. Welcome, guys. We appreciate you. We're so excited to have you.
We're excited to be here. I'm happy to be back, too.
Yay, good. We loved having you the first time.
Yes.
That's one of our most listened to episodes.
Just stop being goo.
It's true. I have been goo for a very long time. It's just a slight obsession. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Really?
You haven't started stalking yet.
Not yet, right?
That you know of.
Okay. I wish people could
never rule these things out.
Oh, man. So.
As soon as the recording stops, she'll just be on the floor going, Mah!
I will.
True.
I might seem ridiculous, but this is as composed as I'm going to be able to get, and it's not very composed. But that's okay. It's only slightly embarrassing, but I'm okay with it. So, we have some fantastic Would You Rather questions that we want to ask you guys today. And the very first one, Claire, would you like to ask the first question?
Yes. We ask this as a general question across our social medias. Would you rather get vague ideas that something bad is going to happen, you're definitely right, but aren't really sure what to do about it, or get full-on terrible visions of what's going to happen, but afterwards you have debilitating migraines and your eyes bleed? So on Facebook, it was a straight up 50-50. On Instagram, 71% just wanted the vague ideas and 29% were quite happy with the eye bleeding. On Twitter, it was 42% for definitely being right and 59% eye bleeding. It's pretty...
That sounds like Twitter. That
read
sounds
about
like
Twitter.
Well, that's just going on Twitter and your eyes instantly start bleeding. Yes. So Colin on Facebook said, I'll deal with the bleeding eyes, thank you very much. There's nothing worse than a nagging sense that something's going on, but you're not sure what. I mean, I'm like that all the time, but why make it worse?
I couldn't do the eye bleeding. I couldn't do that. That I don't want any of that. Thank you. I already have migraines, so no. I don't want any. I would rather have just a general sense of unrest, which anxiety provides me. So at least I'm familiar.
Yeah. You've already got both of them. Just add in the eye bleeds.
I want the eye bleeding part because I want to live with a general sense of gloom and doom like I am right now. I would rather have something specific that I know that I can maybe change, and then I'll deal with the eye bleeding much like Aphrodite does, probably with good champagne. And I prefer reefer over Xanax. I'm more of a natural girl. Yes. So I would do the reefers and the champagne, and I'd be just, it fixed me right up.
No, Phyllis, I don't understand. I can't, no. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Why would you want to know exactly what was going to happen? I feel like, why is that a good thing? It stresses me out.
Well, but you could change it if you know what's coming.
If you've ever played the game The Sims.
Have I ever done that?
No.
They tell you to go to the toilet, or they tell you to go and cook, and then they cancel the action off, and the sim just kind of just sits there and goes, I don't know what's going on. That's how I live my life. So if I've got this vague sense of unease, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to go with PC, and I'm going to have the full-on migraines and eye bleeding because I need to know. I don't want the action to be cancelled and be like, what? You know, I live with that day in and day out, so... You know, I'm not going to be as classy as Aphrodite, unfortunately.
It's so stressful to know that these, I just couldn't. I can't. I'm not with you. I'm abandoned ship. No.
You have, because I'm on the eye bleeding migraines route, too. I mean.
No. No.
Just going to do it.
Kristen is at well, I can do this interview. I just can't.
Kristen is at one with her anxiety. She's at one with
it's my friend at this point, so I'm fine.
Oh my god, long enough. Stuck around. See, I already have migraines. I had one yesterday, so might as well just keep them around. And you can take some artful photographs with bleeding eyes.
Oh my god.
Oh, I'm sure.
You just want to offer cosplay. You're just doing it for the cosplay now.
It's the only reason why I do anything. Just for the cosplay. The only reason. So we had a couple of other responses on social media. Constance on Facebook, and we have to share Constance's because Constance is maybe more of a super fan than I am.
Oh, good.
She said, I have a deep need to know everything. I just have to deal with the blood and migraines. I mean, I do that once a month anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's not wrong.
The blood is probably not from her eyeballs.
But, well, I'm with you, Constance. I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
Michiel on Instagram. I mean, yeah, my head would hurt, but I would also know where my popcorn is going to be dropped. So I won't have to deal with the emotional pain of picking every single one of them up from the floor. Michiel is always hungry. Always.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Bless him.
I love that answer.
One Hilda 5 on Instagram said, if my eyes go back to normal and there's no permanent damage, I'd do the second one. What good is having vague predictions if they don't help anyone? What a waste. So, okay, yeah. So, Kristen, you're wrong, I guess, is what all of these answers are telling us.
You know what? No, I'm doing these right now. Oh. I feel like I'm right, and you guys are just confused.
You've got a vague feeling that you're right.
But different soapboxes. It's fine. We're different soapboxes.
I have, like, a strong intuition anyway. So, I don't know. I just feel like I just... What? I can't. I just can't with the knowing for sure what's going to happen.
If you don't want the bleeding eyes, don't have the bleeding eyes. It's fine. It's fine. You don't have the bleeding eyes. Have that fake sense of unease constantly. And, you know, don't help save lives.
See, but I feel like none of you have ever watched any shows that have anything to do with the people, you know, the characters who are like, I can see the future and we're going to stop it. It does not end well for those people. It doesn't end well.
Like 50 books with Aphrodite being like that. Oh, and by the way, you guys, this sums up what it was like to raise Kristen. When she said, I feel like I'm right, and you guys are just confused.
Well, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion. Mine is just correct, I think.
Exactly. Let's try the next one.
Let's do.
Okay. Next question.
Yes, we asked this one on the House of Night Facebook group because that is the best group of people to ask questions, and they all have the most wonderful responses. So we asked, would you rather be covered in tons of tiny little tendrils of darkness or wrapped up in two or three giant ones? And two or three giant ones got 72% of the vote, and tiny little tendrils of darkness only got 28%.
Yeah, because okay, the tiny ones make me itchy.
See, I created the little tiny ones on Everett because it creeps me out so bad.
Gross. No, I don't like
just
it.
Like her, and I remember I described it like it was like almost living fringe all over her. It just grossed me out. It's just disgusting. I will so take the great big fat tendrils.
Yeah.
Especially because I know what happens at the very end, you know, because I wrote it. Mm-hmm. And so I know what happens to those tendrils. So I take the big tendrils over the gross, swarmy, icky. No.
I don't like the little ones. I feel like they're just like tiny bugs or like roaches or leeches or something. And no, thank you. No, thank you. Give me the giant ones.
It's like that horrible feeling when you go to bed and you think, oh, I'm going to swallow a spider. This looks like a tiny tendrils going in your nose and your ears and your mouth. And whoa. At least it's one. Gross. And you feel like you could like bat it away just a little bit. I mean, you can't because the tentacles of darkness and evil, but at least you feel like something of substance.
Right. Maybe they'd be warm, so at least you would be like cozy. Mm-hmm. All the time, whenever like the big ones, but just like two big ones, it could be like friends.
A shawl.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
A shawl of tentacles of darkness.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want a shawl of darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You want to take over the world, though. No,
it's true. I do. I do want to take over the world. And I'll use my bleeding eyes to help me do that. We have any comments from that one that you think we need to share? I mean, the very first one that we pulled is yours, PC. The little ones gross you out, so we know that.
Yeah.
There's lots of...
I did say that she thinks, like, it's having some big snakes on you versus little slimy bugs covering your whole body. So I think, you know, Chris really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Oh, Janine. Janine said little tendrils aren't as greedy and fill quicker. Plus, there's more of them to send on tasks.
Oh, that is a good point.
That's true. That's those are good points.
Yeah.
Good job, Janine.
Yeah.
Good job, Janine.
It does depend, though. Are you Neferet or are you a victim? Because if you're Neferet being covered in them, you're children, they're your babies. You know, they're not going to harm you. take a little nibble now and again because you're feeding them, but that's very different to being the victim.
Yeah, that's bad. The victims are, it's bad. They go in their mouths. I created all that because it grossed me out so badly.
You did a good job.
In possession of, and then they come like bursting through their necks and stuff. It's just nauseatingly disgusting. Yeah. I really like it.
I kind of got the image from Supernatural where the demons go in and out of the mouths and it's just like this type of smoke flick. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I imagined when... Oh, no, that's just not sanitary.
But if you were dealing with the demons from Supernatural, then you could have some people from Supernatural come and help you out.
Dean!
Can we have a day?
Ooh, no! Sam!
We need to have one day when Jared Padalecki is not raised up in conversation. Can we have one day?
No. No, Jared Padalecki is always around.
He's so terrible. He just, like... I mean, I love a man who cries, but every episode he does that little, he's like, does this like thing with his nose all the time. And then he like gets all teary and he's like,
the way he flicks his hair as well.
Yes.
Yes. I remember watching one of the seasons. It was like, do not do the mantis gear because you will be absolutely plattered. By the end of one episode. So Unshed Mantis, take a shot. Unted Manchi, take a hot shot. Hair flick, take two shots. I love Supernatural.
I've had yet to watch it. Kristen and I were talking. Yeah, I know it's crazy. I don't know how I missed it. Kristen and I were just talking about last night that I have
got... Yeah, because I'm rewatching it right now.
Mm-hmm. You need to watch it. It's
I'm
going to
start the rewatch too.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I need to rewatch too.
Amazing.
I'm going to start. I love me a show that has a ton of seasons.
That's what
we hope. That's what I want for House of Night is to have many seasons of Supernatural. Yeah.
Well,
and every season is its own beast as well, in the literal sense, quite often. But then they have the monster of the week, but then the overarch, and it's just so well done.
It is.
Well, hopefully, you know, you've got a million books and you keep writing more and they just keep getting better. So it should last forever, I think. Just go and buy your books. I think it'll go forever. And I'm there for it. Okay. So now I have questions that we did not ask on social media. What's our next one, Claire?
So would you rather have Kelowna stay good but never have Rafaim, or deal with evil Kelowna and all his evil consequences? So, good Kelowna, no Rafaim, bad Kelowna, bad shit.
That's a really hard question, because I know people are going to say that we have to have Rafaim. I understand that, but... Kelowna, bad Kelowna did really bad things. I mean, he got Rafaim from raping women, and Rafaim and all his brothers from raping women. And I can't be a party to that if I can stop it. So I'm saying good Kelowna, and then just believing that the goddess is going to work out Stevie Ray's love life.
Maybe
I'll co-sign for that one.
Okay.
That was good. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I just can't. I mean, I love to be evil, but sometimes it's just too much.
That is a lot of evil. And
he did a lot of really bad things. Yeah.
And it's not just him, though. It's the River Mockers as well. His offspring have done a lot of bad things. So it's not just him directly, because even before, you know, he got with Stevie Ray and we started regaining his soul for him. You know, he was bad. He was really, really bad.
Yeah, and also remember that Rafaim was bad. He was real bad. I did not plan for Stevie Ray to fall in love with him. I planned for when she went out there behind the Benedictine nun's house and he'd been shot out of the sky during the ice apocalypse. I expected her to kill him. And then I'm writing it, and he opens his mouth and says something human. And, of course, Stevie Ray can't kill him. So I was like, oh, no, now what the hell am I going to do? Because he's a disgusting bird person. Bird I mean, bird. If you think about it, it's so gross. Yeah. He's like a giant, creepy raven with human eyes and hands and legs. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's just disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I remember I told Kristen, I was like, how in the hell am I going to do this? Because he looks so gross. And then Kristen had sage advice from my editorial staff mm-hmm. of one. What was your advice, Kristen Francis?
I said, to focus on his voice and mm-hmm. his people hands. And describe his voice and his people hands and yeah. leave out the bird part.
The eyes too, because he has people yeah. eyes. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice after that scene, like in the books following, before he gets turned into a human sometimes, there's very little creepy raven description because it's disgusting.
Well, it's he's a bird person.
Yeah.
People hands and people yeah. feet. Yeah.
Was it Rafim in the Dragon's Oath novella? So, you know, the Sheriff
oh, yeah.
Biddle?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
influenced
no.
by
no.
I'm confused. Rafim.
I'm
Amanda
so
doesn't
sad.
Agree.
Yeah, it was Rafim down there. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see this?
Thank you. I wish I put a bet on that now.
Yeah. Someone asked me that like a few months ago. And I automatically went, no. I went, no, huh? It was someone else. And then I started thinking about it because I wrote the book like years and years and years ago. And then I was like, oh, shit, I was wrong. It was Rafim. And then I couldn't remember who asked.
I felt like it had to be because, you know, Anastasia essentially saves him and then he goes out and kills her. And it was like, it felt like it had to be. There was
yeah.
nobody else it could have been.
Yeah.
Also, he can speak in complete sentences, and the other Raven Mockers were not quite there.
Yeah, yeah. He's the only one. Although I do, I'm from the fan page, the Facebook fan page, which is fantastic, and I love being active on that. They were asking me questions about the Raven Mockers, about his brothers, and Mizrock in particular, like the only other one who really could speak, and. They gave me an idea for a lovely romantic short story.
Ooh. That is excellent to hear.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All I'm going to say about it.
Uh-huh. Dang it. What more?
No. I don't think I answered this question, but I'm going to have to go with good Kelowna too. I would be curious as to, in the other world, who Stevie Ray would end up with.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know that, so it's fine. But I do love Rafim, maybe almost more than anyone else.
I love Rafim too.
But anyway.
Would you rather live in the bed and breakfast before we Denise sacrifice or Nefret's Mior penthouse while it is still opulent?
Well, I love me some Isle of Skye. So, and in theory, I would already have a place in Tulsa. So, although I do really like the penthouse at the Mayo, I'm going to have to do the B&B on Skye though. Plus, then you get like Mrs. Muir and you get Wee Denise and yeah, you get all of that, the staff too. You get the staff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm going to take that. Kristen, what would you want?
Well, I left Tulsa on purpose. So, couldn't pay me to go back. The bed and breakfast before or after Wee Denise's sacrifice.
Okay.
That one.
Oh, mm-hmm. What do you guys, what would you do?
I love a proper Scottish breakfast. I love a proper Scottish breakfast, not the haggis. I can't stand haggis. But if you've got, their potato pancakes are just absolutely divine. So I'm going to go to the bed and breakfast. I love a bed and breakfast.
Right?
I want Scotland. The like the porridge with just the wee dram of single malt for breakfast. Mm. I love me some of that, yeah.
I'm not allowed Scotch. Scotch makes me go crazy. Like, I stood on the top of the Royal Mile in Edinburgh after doing a taster session and all I was doing was going cheese, I went absolutely Fruit Loops. I'm not allowed scotch.
Oh God, that's where I learned to drink scotch too, was right off the Royal Mile in Edinburgh as well.
We don't let Philip have scotch either.
Yeah, Kristen's grounded me from scotch too for much the same reasons. Yeah. But I can have a little thimble.
Honestly,
just a wee dram, my God. It's just so
Just a dram. I've spent many an afternoon in the Scottish Whiskey Experience Cafe and just drank their lattes with the cream in. So they're nice. But I'm not like actual scotch.
Nice.
No. And okay, you get the floats as well, so you can have the experience of all the different kinds. They're fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna join you guys at the bed and breakfast. We'll all be there together.
We'll have the best time.
We're gonna have a great time.
We really will.
Sleepover,
and then we can go out and skip rocks.
Yeah.
Into the lock. I will do it.
Sacrifice some things to the faithful.
Sacrifice some folks. Yeah.
We don't have to sacrifice people to the fae.
Make a weekend of it.
But you can.
I'd sacrifice Laura Blake to the fae.
Oh my gosh. In that same, would you rather live in this place or this place? Before we get to the last question, would you rather live on Grandma Redbird's farm or on Tina's farm?
Oh, that's easy. Tina is me. Yeah, and that
I called
is
that
friend.
One.
Yeah. I wish you guys could see. I wish that everyone on the podcast could see Kristen just fall out at that, because she knows. Okay. Yeah, no, that was my for real ranch. And Tina was what I called myself when I was a little girl. So I'm going right back to my ranch. I totally had it fixed up exactly how I wanted it. And the Ravenmockers live on the ridge behind me. So yeah, I'm going there in a heartbeat, man.
Okay.
What about you, Kristen?
Nice. I'll go to Grandma Redbird's because I've already lived with my mother.
Right. One.
Let's try something new. And that's too many dogs, Tina.
What?
Yeah, no too many thing. Dogs.
There's no such thing as too many dogs.
That thing. That's not a thing.
Oh, my gosh. You've never been around... Well, as I said, I was going to say, you've never been around barking Scotties as my dog upstairs is barking, but that many Scotties, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. They're like little aggressive cinder blocks.
They're exuberant. They're just living their best life.
They are living their best life.
They're doing it very bull in a china shop.
The white bowl or the black bowl, though?
Well, I have both.
White.
So. I have white and black, or Sweden and black Scotty. So they're a mixture of both, I would say. They do love them some Kristen, too.
Oh, man.
They do. It's a lot.
But I can't imagine. She has four right now. I can't imagine like a whole farm full of them. That's a lot to go.
Oh, man, I can. It would be so fabulous.
He was already talking about getting like a little hairy wiener dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't need.
You should. You need a little hairy wiener dog.
Always. I'm in the process of.
If you have the space and the love, do it.
That is what I was in the
so
process.
And her.
This will sound super, super crazy. But I am in the process of having my beautiful sable German Shepherd, my Eastern European German Shepherd, who died tragically last year. I was already going to clone him. And when he passed tragically, I already had his genetic material stored at the lab and everything. And so I'm right now in the process of they're going through the process of cloning him right now. So I'm going to have at least one because you can get, and he was 120 pounds. So at least one giant bear looking German Shepherd. And Kristen reminded me of yesterday when I said, you know, I haven't had a puppy for years. I should get one of those little hairy wieners. And she's like, she was like, yeah. And then she went, wait, no, You, as soon as you get one of those, you're going to get your shepherd pup, and you'll probably, they'll call you from the lab and go, congratulations, all four are yours. So, there is that. I like
music. I'm excited to see how that turns out. Can you, can you keep us up to date with your...
Oh, yeah, I'll post
about it. Science dog.
Okay.
You don't have to pretend like it's normal.
No, yeah, it's not normal. I know it's not normal. So,
but. I would do it, too.
That's why I like it. It's a science dog.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hang out on Tina's farm, too.
Well, you can't have to.
Oh, you want to go to Tina's farm?
You have allergy issues.
Yeah, I have an allergy to lavender, so...
No!
Yeah, so I have to live on Tina's farm, regardless.
That's a real thing? Of course it is, Kristen. Jeez. No, that's so unfortunate.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I can't hang out with you.
When you're a farm lavender.
I break out in a rash.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, no, it's not pretty. Oh.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun on my ranch. So my ranch is very cool. I even had standing stones brought in and put all over. Like, yeah, I used to do bonfires out there by them and like two-step around them, really kind of drunk. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay.
I've just got this image of being on Tina's farm and just lying there in the field and all the dogs just suddenly, you know, you'd see those clips of all the puppies attacking the little babies and just being all fur in the face and going, yes, I want to die by Labrador or Scotty dog, or just, yes, take me on the fluff, lick me to death.
And that's how they are too. Ask her.
How on
well, every time she comes to my house.
Yes, it's a lot. I'll be alone on the lavender farm. Yeah. That's fine. I'll learn how to meditate. It'll be great.
I guess that'll be good. I'm sorry that you're by yourself, but I can't come visit.
There's a very big difference between a lavender farm and a puppy farm in tranquility terms.
Yeah, it's not very tranquil, I'm sure, on the puppy farm, but it's a better place to be. So, last question. This is an important one. Would you rather live in Zoe's world or in Kevin's world?
Oh, Zoe.
Why?
Zoe. Yeah. Why, Kristen?
Yeah, I don't know that I want to go through like a human vampire war. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Yeah.
And that's happening in Kevin's world.
And it wasn't even resolved at the end of Found. They still have to deal with the ramifications of other Neferets bullshit. So yeah, I'm with Kristen. I want Zoe's world because I created it first and it's cooler. So, yeah.
I'm glad that's your answer.
Plus Lenobi. In that other world, I really like me some Lenobia, and she's not in that other world.
There's pros and cons because in Zoe's world there's Zoe and she needs, in my opinion, a slap, but there's also Jack, and I'm sorry, I can't get away with Jack. He would annoy me so much. But then in Kevin's world, Heath's there and Heath needs a slap.
Yeah,
I don't have to associate with because I'm at the House of Night. But then Stevie Ray is in Zoe's world. We don't know if Stevie Ray is in Kevin's world.
No, she died. She's in Kevin's world.
She died.
Oh. She died. She wasn't. Yeah, she's gone. It's a tough decision.
I don't know. What's your answer, Amanda? In case I need a copy. There's pros and cons.
I want to be in Kevin's world because I really enjoyed Found, and I want to live in that world, even though all the war shit is still happening. I am curious as to how that's going to turn out, and I want to be a part of the change.
Oh, that's nice.
That's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should copy that one. That was a good answer.
You can copy that one.
Plus one.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Plus, be part of Kevin's circle. He hasn't established his full circle yet.
It's true. He's
part of Kevin's circle.
He doesn't have his nerd herd
yet. Plus, I really like Casey. I really like Casey, she's amazing. She's a fun character. I love her. So I want to be BFFs with her.
You know, when I created Zoe, I roughly based her on Kristen at 16. Not everything, but like some of her idiosyncrasies and you know, like she used to love Count Chocula and Brown Pop and of course Paschetti's. That's a whole family thing, and the Paschetti song is our family song too. And
what were you
saying?
Are you talking about Casey?
Oh, Casey. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I completely lost my mind. I was thinking about Paschetti now. I was like, ooh, noodles for lunch sound good.
Someone's hungry.
I had Paschetti for dinner last night.
But I actually, Casey was created way much more like who Kristen actually is. And the reason I named her Casey is because her Kristen's initials, K-C. So yeah, that she's much more all of her rants about school being, you know, institutionalized jail for children and that kind of thing, that's all Kristen. That is so Kristen.
Totally relate.
And ice cream shoes, those are
preach, Kristen. Preach, Kristen, preach.
I was gonna ask if you had the ice cream shoes.
I do. Yeah. I have those shoes.
Yep.
Awesome.
So yeah.
That makes me happy. And I like Casey even more now. I know who she actually is. Yay. Yay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So that's the end of Would You Rather. And we have a few more questions to ask, which I think we still have a little bit of time left. We can get through some of them. If that's okay with you guys.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So the first are a couple that we had while we were discussing Loved, Lost, and Forgotten. And I had a theory. And I want to know what your thoughts are. So we know that Aphrodite will be human eventually, and she'll have children and grandchildren. And we know that, and you talked about it a couple of days ago, I think, or recently on the fan page, that Darius is not going to be around forever.
Right.
And they can't have children, because we know that is also true. So can I just have my dream that she and regular original Kevin hook up, and that is where the children come from? Can I please have that dream? Can you please don't crush my dreams?
You can have that dream.
Damn it.
But think about, I mean, regular Kevin would be like, Aphrodite and Darius are going to outlive him.
No. Let him live forever too. Come on. Don't ruin my dreams.
You have to have like a whole... They live a long time anyway.
Yeah.
And so, Dare, but you can have your dream, but no, you can have your dream.
Well, and isn't he like part of a turd?
He can grow out of that. You be nice to original recipe Kevin. So, now, can I just tell you,
original recipe Kevin will have children, and Aphrodite will get together with original recipe Kevin's child at a more respectable age. She's not going to get rid of all of our second chance mojo straight away.
Great grandchildren, because she and Darius will probably live 200 to 500 years or so.
Can I just tell you that in Found, when there's only one warrior at the grotto, and then that warrior is killed. I thought for like half of a second that it was Darius, and I was like, oh, well, my dreams are going to come true already because there's Darius. He's dead. And Aphrodite's just going to give up everything. So I had it for like this long.
Well, you hang on to that dream, okay?
I will, even though it won't go anywhere.
That was such a condescending pat there. You have your dream. You do. You go with that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling comforted by it, but it's okay.
It's not their job.
I know.
You write the fan fiction. We're always writing fan fiction. That fan fiction. I want to know ice cream shoes / Casey / Kristen in real life gets affinities for fire and water at the same time. So those are the elements that Zoe used to help shield her in the pool when she, you know, dies and then kind of comes back.
Yes.
Is that why she got both affinities? Because Zoe was using those at the time? Or is it Nyx's influence, purely influence?
I think it was a mixture of both. It kind of makes sense for her to, she died with those elements being evoked, So I thought it made sense for her to for her to have that, those affinities. And Nyx agreed with me, which she does often. Good. Whilst riding House of Mud.
So did you ever...
We mess each other all the time.
We do. Did you ever expect the series to last as long as it has and like for everyone to still to this day be obsessed with it? Because I've been obsessed with it since the beginning. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been on board since day one. But did you think it was going to last this long? And did you think that like I would still be here loving it so much, so obsessively much? Or
no. No, I did not. Actually, I mean, the series was over. And then Kristen went in, what year was it, Kristen? 2016, right? She said to me, you know that next year is the 10th anniversary of Marked. And I was like, no way. And she was like, you should do something.
Yeah.
And then I spent a really long time trying to figure out how not to write another book. Yeah, because I was real busy. I mean, I still am. And, you know, writing books takes a while. So I tried to get out of writing another book. And the amount of time that I spent trying to get out of writing another book, I could have written a book in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's a lesson.
I really like.
Yeah, there is a lesson there. And then I finally.
I like the idea of the anthology, though. The anthology by other writers, I really like that idea. I thought that was an excellent one. And I really want Detective Marks and his sister's story, or just his sister's story.
Oh, yeah.
Like Detective completely Marks, removed from Tulsa and all of those.
Detective Marks, he's a really nice man. Okay, based on, he was Officer Marks. He was our police officer at school. On his off-duty time that he was at our school, and I taught at South Intermediate High School in Broken Arrow, where Zoe was marked. And Zoe was actually marked right around the corner from my classroom. And he was an officer there, and then he became a detective. And he's a really, really good guy. So I'm very tall, too. I put him in the book.
Awesome. Yeah, we liked him a lot. Claire liked him.
And I want to know more about his sister.
Yeah,
I adored him. I want more of him, and I want to know more about his sister. And
well, I made that part up, but I also could tell that story. Yeah,
but yeah. We need to know that story.
I didn't think you really had a vampiric sister in real life. I mean, I'm not, you know, defaming anybody's lifestyle choices. You do,
right? Exactly. You never know. But that would be another good short story to tell.
And that's why I kind of like the idea of that when we did sort of like Amanda did some background pulling, and one of the ideas that seemed to be bandied about was an anthology written by other authors, and it's like so you get different like tones and styles and everything. And I thought, oh, that would have been an interesting one to have within the anthology, where you move away from Zoe and the central crew, the central circle, and you find out a little bit more about some of these other side characters that have been mentioned only in name and very, very slightly. I thought it was very interesting. But one of the things I was wondering, you're Wiccan.
Yeah, well,
but your book's a vampire, but the books are very magical.
Well, I'm pagan. I'm not really, I don't call myself a witch. I'm not really Wiccan. I follow more of a Celtic, like Bardic Druid tradition, but I do adhere to a lot
very
of
spiritual
the ritual, the Wiccan kind of style rituals and that type of thing. Yeah,
so that's the obvious influence for why it's included in the House of Night. Did you ever want to just scratch out them being vampires and just make them more spiritual, more druidic, and put the vampire bit out?
I actually always think of them as just kids first, and I add the magic and the vampirism on top of that, because when you look at House of Night, they're really that the basis of House of Night are these characters, and it's who they are it's who they are in their souls. It's who they truly are, and added on top of that is the magic. That's And you guys were talking about the anthology before, And that's weird because Kristen and I were just talking about this too. Kristen, do you want to tell them kind of the little surprise?
Yeah, it's not an anthology.
Yeah, I know, but we were talking about
anthologies.
Well, we're talking about a collection of short stories.
Oh, we're talking about, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was confused. yes. I have a book coming out on October 13th called The Key to Fear. It has nothing to do with the House of Night world. However, as a pre-order, like, you know, there are always fancy pre-order giveaways for all sorts of books. So as a pre-order giveaway for The Key to Fear, starting September 13th, when you submit your proof of purchase, you will get the first of The Key to Fear. You will get the first half of Luck, which is a short story from Heath's point of view about the time, it's taken from Betrayed, about the time whenever he was kidnapped by the red vampires and held in the tunnels, and his whole imprint with Zoe and what that was like for him. And then you'll get the second half of it a week after the release of The Key to Fear, with, like, if you post a picture with yourself with the book, I'll send you the second half of Luck. So awesome. And if it goes really well, like if a lot of people pre-order and send me their stuff and enjoy the short story, we will definitely think about doing a collection of House of Night short stories as like one big book.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like we're testing the waters. Not only is it to, you know, promote my newest book, but it's also like a little test to see what House of Night readers, like how they feel about doing short stories based in the House of Night world.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm there for that.
I think it's going to be a lot of uptake for that.
Look,
am I going to start liking Heath?
I love Heath, so yes.
That's going to take a lot of work on your part, Kristen, to get her to like Heath. But look, I've got my pre-order thing.
If you don't love him, it's okay.
Did this thing work out very well? Getting pre-orders and sending those out? Did that work very well?
Yeah, she's pointing at the Kickstarter, the postcard from the Kickstarter that I did with, I partnered with Echo Chernik, who she's an awesome, awesome fantasy artist. And she has done a portrait of Nyx called Nyx Descending. And the Kickstarter funded. Yeah, so it's awesome. All going. And people who backed the Kickstarter, even though it's over, now they can go in and they can change levels. And there's a whole bunch of stuff, cool stuff available in that Kickstarter. Yeah, it went really well. Good. It went really well, good. Really pleased. And the portrait of Nyx is just beautiful. And it's from a scene at the very end of Found.
So Kristen, hopefully yours will work out too. Because when can you pre-order this?
You can pre-order The Key to Fear now.
Okay.
And I'll have on my website, submit your pre-order information that you did it, and like I'll collect all of it. And then starting September 13th, that's whenever I'll send out the first half. And you can enter and pre-order anytime between September 13th and October 13th to get the first part and then the second part.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to do that.
Website.
And is that for US? Is that international or US only? Because we do
international because it's all digital. It's all digital,
Excellent.
It is international. In the UK, you can find The Key to Fear on Amazon because it is being published, and they're all an its own like UK edition with a different cover and everything. Is being published on November 5th. That's when it releases there. But yeah, it's totally international.
Awesome.
So anybody,
excellent.
All humans of the world.
What's your website, Kristen?
Oh, my website's kcastauthor.com. So come on down.
And check out your scarlet pictures that are there at the top. I've been looking at those. That's an awesome little story that you're telling.
They're excellent.
Yeah, I love them.
Love her. She's so amazing.
We love her too. I want to ask, you guys have done a ton of author Q&As all over the place. They're in the backs of all of your books, like, and everyone loves you and everyone loves asking you questions. But is there something that you always hope that someone will ask you and they never do? Or on the other side of that, is there something that you really just fucking wish people would stop asking you?
Yeah, on that side. on that side, yes.
And vampires get pregnant. I see that question all the time.
I don't mind answering that question. No vampires can't. My vampires cannot get pregnant, and no, I will not break that world rule. When we first...
Thank you.
You are welcome, okay? When House and I first released, we got compared to Twilight constantly. And then Twilight went away, kind of, and House and I did not, and we stopped getting those questions. And now, because of Midnight Sun being out again, we are getting those questions again about comparing Twilight to House of Night, and that's the question that I wish would stop. Because if you've read both of them, you know that there's really no similarity, and that it's kind of off-putting for the authors to start interviews with the question, so how are your books like or unlike Twilight? And we wish that would. Well, I'm not bashing Stephanie at all. I think Twilight's very entertaining, and so I'm not bashing it. I would never do that. Yeah, I'm gonna support Stephanie Meyer, and I think that she's awesome. But you know, the constant comparison is got tedious, and now it's tedious again. It'll go away again, and you know.
Yeah, there's just no comparison. They're not, just because they both have vampires, like they're not the same. It's not the same story. There's nothing to compare between the two. So.
Well, it's like saying Dracula is the same as the House of Night series because they have vampires in. They're really not.
Yeah, or like Anne Rice's horrible. Yeah,
it's not the same. So that no. you don't want people to ask you about that anymore?
I can't think of a question that I wish people would ask.
I know, I thought about this one for a long time, and I don't.
People are good at asking questions. Yeah, they've been asking us since like 2007. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of hard to interview you guys because of that.
You guys do a very good job. I like it when we check
the back of the books.
I like it when we get asked like more unusual questions, you know, other than just the same things over and over again. I like it when people, you know, kind of delve into the world deeper. And, you know, I like the either or questions too. Those, we never get asked those except for you guys.
Well, those good. Are infinite. We've got an infinite supply of would you rather questions, and they can only get progressively more terrible as we go along. So.
They really do. They really, really do. We recently talked to Gail Carriger. And we asked her the same question, what's the one thing you never get asked? And her response was, nobody wants to talk about food, and all I want to talk about is food. So now, what are you having for your dinner? Or what have you had for your dinner?
Oh, what am I going to have? I don't know. Now, I think that I might have to have like some kind of paschettis now that we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had nudes. That's what we call nudes. I haven't had nudes in a while. So I might make me some paschettis tonight. What about you, Kristen? What's on the menu tonight?
Well, yes, because we do have a menu at my house for budgetary purposes. So I know exactly what to buy, and I'm not wasteful and just out there buying all sorts of things. Tonight, we are having greens and beans quesadillas from, there's a cooking blogger, I don't know. It's called, her site's called Cookie and Kate, and she has a cookbook. And so it's collard greens and pinto beans
with some vegan cheese and whole wheat tortillas, and it's so good. I feel like it sounds kind of weird because I didn't want to try it, and then my boyfriend was like, we should do this one, and I was like, okay. And it's delicious. It's delicious.
Ooh, it sounds like I would like that. Bean
quesadillas with some rice in case my toddler doesn't want quesadillas and only wants to eat rice.
I mean, that's understandable, but I would eat that quesadilla.
Yeah, my son just like rice and nudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he comes out in the morning and he's like, cookies? And we're like, no. And he's like, pops? Pop, he likes popsicles. We say no. And then he goes, nudes? So those are the three food groups in my house, cookies, pops, and nudes. Just put rice under nudes.
I love it.
My son thinks he's sneaky by going into the kitchen, closing the door, going into the freezer, getting an ice pop out, and then going, ice pop? And I've got to be the one that unwraps it because he can't. I'm like, you're not being very subtle here, dude. You're not subtle at all.
Luckily, my son can't open the freezer by himself yet. So he just grabs the bar.
He's learned. They learn quick.
He leans backwards and he goes, pop! Really loud and like, but he can't open the freezer yet, thank goodness.
Soon.
Oh, they learn quick. He's learned where he can get a step from and everything. It's crazy.
Okay, so it's, I think we're about out of time, but I do want to ask if you guys can tell us anything more about Sisters of Salem, because we're anxiously awaiting that release, or anything else going on that you want to tell us about.
We're actually going to do a theme next week. We do a book club theme, and we are doing a theme next year on the month it's released, solely to celebrate Sisters of Salem. It's going to be Season of the Witch. So that's the theme of the month.
We'll come back.
Just for Sisters of Salem.
You'll have to come back for that one.
You have to. You have to. So throw something at us then. Tell us something.
We just turned in the second book to our editor yesterday.
Omen's Bite. That's the second book.
The first book spells trouble. We still don't know. Spring, summer 2021. But we're making progress with the cover. And it's going to be gorgeous. So
awesome.
We love it. We were both talking about how usually second books are kind of hard to write, are tough to write. And especially this is a trilogy. So second books can be kind of a bridge book. You know, and we love this book. The first book, Spells Troubles, is fantastic. We had a good time with that. But the second book, it just was like, it exploded. Yeah. It was so, so much fun. I wish I could tell you guys my favorite part, but I can't because it will ruin way too much. But we really had a good time with this.
Yeah,
we love writing this.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah
there too. They're twins. They're witchy twins. And Kristen writes Hunter and I write Mercy. And it's really cool. It's not set in Salem. They're witches. They're descended from witches, from a Salem witch, Sarah Goody. And she was actually hung in the late 1600s. I can't remember. but we save her instead. Sarah is saved with her daughter, and she starts traveling west and ends up founding what becomes Goodyville in Central Illinois.
Awesome.
And, it's a whole. And she founds Goodyville in 1693, and there are a line of witches passed from mother to daughter all the way. It's contemporary. It takes place like today, and it's really good.
We
had so much fun.
Awesome, I'm excited for that one. Yeah,
really looking forward to that one. Have you got an audiobook narrator for it yet? Because you know how much we love an audiobook narrator at Fictional Hangover.
Right.
Not for Sisters of Salem because it's not finished. Like the first book, it's been edited and everything, but it has one more stage of edits that it has to go through, and then it has to be like a book. And audio narration, they can get that done in like 2 months. So you don't always have a narrator. like this far ahead. But I just, for the key to fear, we just found out that Joshua Palenko from Orange is the New Black and In the Heights is going to narrate.
What? That is awesome.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Wow. Yeah, Kristen's going to talk to her.
I get to talk to Ronnie on the phone. She's going to call me. Oh, I'm very nervous.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
That's so cool, though.
Yes.
You are totally going to fangirl. Totally.
I don't even know. I can't talk about it.
That's you so have. Cool, okay, but while Kristen picks herself up off the floor, we know Key of Fear is coming out this year, so please go and pre-order it. We know the Sisters of Salem is going to come out next year. Is there anything else that you want to plug?
I'm working on an adult apocalypse novel. It's a duology. The first book, the tentative title is Green as Blood, and I've been working on it since last year. I had to do a bunch of research for it. And I've been writing it since last year, since before our actual apocalypse. And I just try out for announcements about that. And as soon as I finish that first book, Green as Blood, and I'm more than halfway done with it right now. The next up is I will be writing the fourth Tales of a New World novel, Earthwalker. And even if I have to self-publish it, it will be out. And let me tell you, I promise right now, for all you guys who every day message me about this book, I promise not only am I writing it, but I will, if I need to, I will self-publish it. And if I self-publish it and it does well enough, I have two more planned. The Whale Singer one, and then I have a raptor book, which I meant bird raptors, but Kristen was like, when they roar, dinosaur raptors? And I was like, no.
Why are there dinosaurs? There are dinosaurs? And she was like, no, raptors. And I was like, rah. Yes, I understand.
No, like owls or a fox or something. But then when she said dinosaurs, I was like, wait, it is my post-apocalypse world. I could actually make up a dinosaur if I needed to. So I'm on the fence about that one still. But yes, I love that world and I am looking forward to going back to it. And then moving up the list then would be finally Ciara's Destiny from the Parthalon books.
Awesome. Man.
And that would also be something I would self-publish.
Constantly busy.
Yes, constantly. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. Okay, well, I think we've kept you long enough, but thank you for joining us again, PC, and thank you for joining us for the first time of many, hopefully, Kristen.
It was awesome.
We're looking forward to all of your books that are coming out, and now, I mean, I'm going to have to pre-order as soon as we stop talking, so might have to drag you back on for that one. We'll probably cover it eventually, so just get ready for lots of awkward emails from me.
Yay!
Yay! All right. Thank you so much, guys. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's it for this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss The Survivor by Bridget Tyler, audiobook narrated by Jesse Valinsky. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment or if you have any books to recommend. Look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media. Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. And be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangove.redbubble.com. That's fictionalhangove.redbubble.com to find all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. If you'd like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.